Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. The clothes giveaway is this Saturday, the 27th, from 8 to 10 here at the church. If you have clothes for the giveaway to the church, bring them to the church by Wednesday. And anyone who would like to help put out clothes for Saturday can meet us here at the church Thursday at 6:30 p.m. And we'll be sorting them out into different sizes and all and putting them in the church. So please remember that. I think there's some flyer somewhere around that you can just get the word out again, the information on that. Next Sunday morning, April the 28th, is the Gideon speaker will be here, and we will take up a love offering for Gideon International. So please plan on coming and give as the Lord leads you on that. We've had them here as long as I can remember. They would come, Gideons would come, and always been a blessing. And it's a great organization, y'all, Christian organization. So please help us and support that. Any other announcements?
35
in Sunday school. Amen. 35 in Sunday school. Thank you, Larry. That's great. Any other announcements? Good looking crowd this morning. Any birthdays?
I think I know one, but I can't remember who it is. Yeah, I can. I can't tell a tale. You know any more?
I'll just do the asking.
All right, Sissy Over.
Happy birthday. Everybody in the key of G. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, y'all. Dear Heavenly Father, we do just come today, Lord, as always, just giving you our thanksgiving, Lord, and praising your holy name, and thanking you, Lord, as we even discussed in Sunday school, Lord, all the past blessings, Lord, that you have blessed on this church family and even the individual families and the people that are here today, Lord. We just want to give you the glory and thank you for that, Lord. But, Lord, we also know, Lord, that we are here today to worship our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, we know this world offers us a lot of distractions, Lord, on Sundays and every day of the week, Lord, to distract us from glorifying our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just pray, Lord, that as we move into our worship service today, Lord, that we just totally focus on you, Lord, and give you all the glory and praise and no one else. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, good morning again. This morning we're going to start with a lift your name on high. Let's all stand. The word should be on the screen. And let's all worship the Lord as we sing, I lift your name on high. Thank you. hymn number 2, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Our Lord is holy.
It's a great hymn. We'll sing first, second, and last verses. Whosoever meaneth me.
It's glorious in my soul. sitting outside these walls. And Lord, now we say she's blessed, her sick, and one's on the prayer list, and one's just traveling, Lord, and her, in our country, Lord, we just ask you to keep praying and looking out for us. And Lord, to take up the sorrows and be glorified by your name and be your will. In our Heavenly Father's name, I pray. Amen.
Sissy and I were talking last week, and she says she's going to have more time for us to work on some specials and all that, but I don't know. I mean, I tell you, we get busy when things change, don't we? Life's busy, but we're going to put together more specials, and if any of y'all want to be part of that, you're welcome. Just let us know, and we'll do it. This morning, I want y'all to help me with this special. This is one we can all sing. It's hymn 361 in our hymnal, and we're here to worship our Lord, and we sing this for an opening hymn sometime, but it's good right now before Brother Tim comes and shares with us what the Lord has for us this morning. So if you would, you don't have to stand, but just sing with me as I sing, "We Have Come Into His House."
To the book of 1 John. Once again, we will be studying in the book of 1 John. 2 weeks ago on Sunday morning, we looked at the first test that John gave us in this letter to the churches. And that first test was about knowing Jesus personally. Do we know him? Because Jesus told us in other places in Scripture that if you had known him, you'd know the Father. And if you knew the Father, you would know him. And so, do we know him personally? That is a question that needs to be answered and must be answered, because there's a specific thing in there, though, about knowing Jesus, because some of us may know him with our heads, but not with our hearts. You could be brought up in church your whole life. You could give all the Sunday school answers. You could tell everything about the life of Jesus, the week of the Passion, his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection, and you could tell me what he is doing right now on our behalf, but you may not know him personally. Details about his life do not equate to a relationship. To know him personally, we must have a personal relationship with him. That Sunday night, we talked about the test of admitting our sins, and John told us that if we say we have no sin, we are a liar, right? And the truth is not in us. And so we realize that, as John is saying, that he also moved down. We looked last Sunday morning about how John tells us in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, about how Jesus Christ is our advocate. He is our defense lawyer. He is our propitiation. He is our payment for our sins. Because if you don't admit you're a sinner, why do you need a defense attorney? If you don't admit you're guilty of your sin, why do you need somebody to pay the price for your sin? And so John tells us who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. And then last Sunday night, we began looking about how we know that we know we're in Christ, and that was the test of obedience. The test of obedience. This morning, we're going to back up and pick up at verse 3, and we're going to read down through verse 6 before reading verses 7 through 11. And the reason is because I've already been telling you that in Scripture, when it was written, it was not written with chapters and verse numbers. It was written in a continuous manner. And sometimes we kind of miss out on, because we're thinking there's a new thought or a new agenda or something that is there, but it is not. And so we're going to pick back up in verse 3 and read on down through verse 6 to start with. John says, now by this, that word this shows that there's a condition. There's something that has happened or is going to happen. By this, we know that we know who? Him, Jesus. If we do what? Keep his commandments. We got to remember that commandment from today's message. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a what?
Liar.
Liar. And is the truth in that person?
No.
And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, whoever obeys his word, whoever does his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in Christ ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Now, I want to stop right there. We can leave that up there. I want us to realize something here. Because I'm going to ask you a question you can answer out loud. What is the greatest commandment? Speak up.
Love God.
I started and I forgot to. There's a song by Danny Gokey that says, keep it real simple. We're to love God and do what? Love people. Now, that is true. So before we get into that, we need to think about loving God. As I was preparing this week for this morning, I thought of several things that I just want to share with you this morning. I love each one of you. You know, some of y'all know as well as others, and hopefully over time that will change. But you have made me and my family feel as if we've known you forever. I have felt the love that you have for me and my family from the very first meeting. Can you believe it? It's been a year. It's been a year since we began speaking with the search committee, and it was on March 21st of last year, so it has been exactly 1 year today, or a year and 1 month today. You've loved on me, you've loved on my family. But as I was thinking about these things, I love how I have seen you love on other members of Wigan Baptist Church. I love how you have shown your love not just to the folks in Wigan Baptist Church, but in trying to reach out to the community, whether that's through Trunk or Treat or BBS or by the food dinner that we did last December, or you know, just the many things that we've been doing, the Titus II Women's Ministry, the Standing in the Gap Men's Ministry. It's not just about meeting and eating, okay? There should be a purpose behind each and everything that we do should be to point people to Christ. And if we're not pointing people to Christ, then we need to change what we're doing, amen? Because that should be our primary goal, and everything we do should be to point others to Christ. I love how I have seen your love on display by how you give to the International Mission Board, to NAM, which is the North American Mission Board, to the Georgia Baptist Mission Board, and to Grady County Baptist Association. I love how you have shown love through the Hope Room, Hope Ministries. I love how this church has food pantry, so if somebody is in need with food items, we can help them out. I love how I have seen the church meet financial needs, because that demonstrates, first and foremost, our love for God. But it also demonstrates our love for others, because I could tell you all day long that I love you, but if I never show it to you, what does it mean? So as we see, and as we studied last Sunday night, the test of knowing God is by keeping His commandment. And so as we go on down to verse 7 now, John writes these words. He said, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you." And if you're not careful, you're going to get kind of a little mixed up and confused here. So, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, I write a new commandment. A new commandment I write to you, which thing is true and in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates," listen carefully, "and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light. There is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because darkness has blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven." Well, I'm going to stop right there. We'll catch on this next part in a second. John is focusing here in verses 3 through 6. As he begins verse 7, He is going back to the greatest commandment. Because we show and know that we love God and that we know God when we obey His what? Commandments. So the two greatest commandments, we need to understand this first and foremost. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Listen to what Jesus said. The Bible says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as who?
Yourself.
On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" In other words, here's what Jesus is saying. If you can master these two commands, you don't have to worry about the rest of them. You won't have to worry about the rest of them. When you go back to Exodus chapter 20 and read the Ten Commandments, we're not going to do that today for time's sake. When you go back to the Ten Commandments, you realize first and foremost that our first love is who? First commandment is God. Is God. Love Him first and foremost. The first four commandments are about our love towards God. The last six commandments is our love being displayed through other people when we don't cheat on them, when we don't steal from them, when we don't lie about them. All those things are balanced by loving God and loving others. It's easy to say that we, and this is, well, I shouldn't say this, but you know I'm going to. Usually somebody that comes up to me and says, "Well, preacher, I love everybody." Can I tell you, some people are just hard to love. I don't care who you are. Amen? Some people make it hard to love them. I get that. But sometimes we really don't like somebody. And I understand at times there's a cause for that dislike. But you know what? I have done a whole lot of things to God in my lifetime that's a whole lot worse than anything you have done to somebody else or that they've done to you. Think about all the sins in your life that you have done towards God and towards other people, because that's ultimately, you know, we sin against others, and when we sin against others, we're really sinning against God. But when we look at what the Bible commands us here, we are to love God with everything we have. We're to love others as God has loved us. Now that, can I tell you just straight up this morning, that is impossible to do without the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Amen? Because like I said, some people, it's just hard to love them. But you know, I'm probably as hard a person to love as anybody. And God had mercy and grace on me, and He gave me forgiveness, and He loves me and loves you. And so if God loves you, and I claim to be in Christ and following Christ, then I too must also love you, whether I want to or not, whether you make it easy or not. Amen? I'm to love that person or individual that God has placed in my life. Because if God has appointed our places, our boundaries, and the times that we live in, He has put me and you here at this church this morning for a reason. Amen? And that is to love Him first and then love each other. How does the world outside the walls of this church how do they know we love God? We show it to them by how we love each other here. If a church can't get along inside the four walls, guess what? They ain't going to be harmony on the outside of the walls either, because everybody in the community knows what's going on in church. If you don't believe this, go ask them. I heard so-and-so. You know what I mean? Love God and love people. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus says, see, He didn't change the law. We'll get into this in just a minute. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you do what? Love one another. As I have loved you. Not as you think they deserve to be loved or that they don't deserve to be loved. You love them as I have loved you. That you also love one another. What is the reason for this? Verse 35. By this, all. What does all mean? Everybody, by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You see, here in 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11, John is not writing a new commandment. It's old commandment. But see, a lot of people say, well, you know, the Old Testament don't have nothing to do with the New Testament. Can I tell you that's all it was, just to put it simple? If you didn't have the Old Testament, you wouldn't have the New Testament. And there are some of the laws, the ceremonial laws and stuff, that when Christ came, He fulfilled that, the sacrificial laws, because He is the perfect sacrifice. When He died on the cross and He rose from the dead, some of those laws were done away with because we didn't need them anymore. Christ fulfilled all those. Jesus even said Himself, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to do what? To fulfill the law. So, when John is writing this, he is really referring back to, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 7, when he says, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment. You say, well, what is the old commandment? Well, Leviticus 19:18 tells us you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that didn't change. It hasn't changed. Because even in the New Testament, as we look just a minute ago, Matthew 22, verse 39, Jesus commanded us that we should love your neighbor as yourself. So in keeping in context with what John is saying here, we have to go back and understand that our love for others, our love for our neighbors, our love for the brethren or the sisters, as y'all call each other, as you have love for one another, it opens up a whole new door. It opens up a whole new opportunity. Because you know what? There's a lot of people outside the walls of this church that are hurting. There are a lot of people outside of these church walls that are lonely. And when they see us love on each other, it should make them want to be a part of us. Not hating on each other, not talking about each other in a bad sense, not running one another down, or just, I just can't believe, you know, you hear all kinds of stuff. But John is saying, listen,
In order for us to love one another, we first have to love God. You have to love God first. Because it's only by knowing, having that relationship with God that we can even begin to understand how much He loves you and I. And then when we realize, you know, how many times have I blown it? And God is still there for me. He's still faithful. When I'm unfaithful, He's always faithful. When I don't love, He still loves me. But I should desire to understand the love that God has for me. Therefore, I can in turn love others the way that He has loved me. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, we are commanded to love the Lord God with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. It's nothing new. It's not a new commandment that John is talking about here, although he's referring back to the Old Testament. So it is nothing new, but it is new. Because it's still true even today that we are to love God first. He is to have first place in our life. As a matter of fact, Matthew 6:33, it's not on the screen, it's popped in my head. Better catch the rabbit while he's there. Matthew 6:33 says to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these what? Other things will be added to you. So when we put God first in our life, everything else seems to fall in place. But how many times do we get that backwards? We try to put everything in place and then ask God to bless it. That's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother day. 1 John 2:4 says, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I know I've been guilty of this, and I try not to say that I hate anybody. I might say I hate what they do. But it's a struggle sometimes to love others and to say, you know, well, you know, and I have to remind myself often, and you know, that God has put somebody there at this moment in time. He's put me at this moment in time, and somehow, some way, I have to minister to them. I have to love them, even if I don't like what they do or what they say or where they go. And so we have to strive to do that. But it is not in our power. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we find ourselves in those situations, it's not in my strength. It's not in my abilities. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if the Holy Spirit is living in me, He's teaching me to be like Christ. I believe that's what John's purpose for these next verses is. In verses 9 through 11. In verses 12 on down through 14. Listen to what he says. He says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are what? Forgiven you. So here he is speaking to people who are saved. He's speaking to us. He says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. It's not for your glory. Amen? He didn't save you for your glory. He saved you for your good, but He saved you for His glory. And so the question therefore comes back to, are we glorifying God in what we do, what we say, how we live, what we spend our money? Are we doing that? He goes on to say, your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. Verse 13, I write to you fathers because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you little children because you have known the Father. I have written to you fathers because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God does what? Abides forever. Now, I believe in those verses 12 through 14, John is speaking to. And you know, back then, most of the time, it's written in the, well, they call it the mail, whatever it's called. If you notice in those three verses, John is writing to the young men, to the young, well, the young children, the young men, and the fathers. So all those three, he is speaking generationally. And even in generational terms, he's talking about when we love God, guess who is that? Guess who that is going to affect? If daddy loves mama the way he's supposed to, if daddy loves his children the way that he's supposed to, if daddy first and foremost loves God the way he's supposed to, where should the children follow him? Now, if daddy is loving God first and he's loving others, children learn that. So when John is writing this, he is encouraging those who are in the church, not just the men, okay? He is encouraging all of us within the church that through the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, we now have the ability, because we are saved, because we've overcome Satan, the devil, because we have overcome sin in our life, not through what we have done, but through what Christ has done. Now that Christ is living inside of us through the power of the Holy Spirit, now we can love like God loves. So he's encouraging the young men, the boys, the children, the young men, the young teenager girls, the young women, the older women. He's encouraging all of us to allow the Holy Spirit to live in and through us. Why? Because we have known him. We have known him. And when we mess up, guess who's still with us? Because what did we look at last Sunday morning? We have an advocate with the Father. If anyone sins. Now, does that mean that I can just go around hating people for no reason? That I just go around hating people at all? No. Because it clearly says, listen, if you say that you're walking in the light, you hate your brother, you're still in darkness. And you don't know him. You are a liar. So for somebody to say that they hate somebody else, you better examine your salvation. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to hate anybody. We say that we're walking in the light, but hate our brother or sister or neighbor, then we're not walking in the light, we're walking in darkness. But on the other hand, he tells us here in verse 10, says he who loves his brother abides in what? In light. What does abide mean? We're going to see that word a whole bunch. Abide means to dwell, to live. Everyone in Sunday school this morning, when Jacob built the altar to the Lord, he went back to El Bethel, the house of God. God's intent is for us to live in him every single day. Amen? And I believe in that lesson, that's what God was trying to do with Jacob, was to bring him back to the place he belonged, to bring him back to the place he was supposed to stay. He was supposed to settle. He was supposed to dwell there. But just like Jacob, how many times do we walk off in the wilderness? and get off into sin when God wants us to be dwelling in Him, living in Him, being the light for the world to see who we are and who He is. We're to abide in Him. When we love God, listen carefully. When we love God first and foremost, how will the love for God be shown? Out here, what did I just make? Cross. For God so loved. If God loved the very people who nailed His Son to the cross, because did the Roman soldiers really nail Jesus to the cross? Physically, yes. But He went to the cross for those soldiers' sin, but He also went to the cross for our sins. So our sins were the ones who nailed Jesus to the cross, right? And if God so loved the world, you know what? God could create another earth just like that if He desired to. All He got to do is speak it. Amen? It didn't take billions of years to form everything you see. 6 days, what my Bible teaches me. 6 days is what I believe. Okay? I can argue all day long. I'm going to go back to the Word of God. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. And if I'm wrong, I'll just have to admit it in heaven. Amen? But here's the thing. God loves the world. It's not talking about the stuff we see and stand on, walk on, and eat. He's talking about you and me, people of the earth. And if He loved us so much that He would give His Son to die for your sins and for my sins, how can I then in turn hate somebody else? When we look at this word abide, we are to remain in Him, abide in Him. Tonight we're going to look at verses 15 through 17 more in depth. But man, if I think about these words that John is saying, and John has a whole bunch to say about this. If you'll put it on 1 John chapter 3, verses 10. Through 23. I want us to look at these because, man, John had a lot to say about love. And we say we can't love, but we can. Listen to what John writes. He says, In this the children of God and the children are the devil, of the devil are manifest. What does manifest mean? To make visible, to put light on them, to make them appear. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Who, listen carefully, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of who? God. Nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from when? From the beginning, that we should love who? One another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in what? Death. He's not talking about physical death. He is talking about spiritual death. He is talking about separation from a holy and righteous God. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We all sought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother needs and shuts his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Do you think that's just a want a feel good question? That is a rhetorical question. For somebody to see somebody else in need and shut their heart up to them when God has been so merciful and gracious to us, how can we even claim to be a child of His? He goes on to say, my little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. End right there. You go ahead and put it on 1 John chapter 4. John writes a lot about love. Listen to what he says here. 1 John 4:7. He said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of who? And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love who? One another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His what?
Spirit.
And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son, the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. As I think about those words, I think about the question we need to ask ourselves today. Is God truly living in us? How are we showing that love? I'm not talking about just making this show to make yourself look good. How are we living out what Jesus would have us to live out? How are we living out our loving Him first? Does it show in everything we do and all that we say? Because if we love God as we should be loving others as God loves us. Not because we've got it all together, but because the Holy Spirit lives in us. And because we have the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from what? From the dead. And if that Holy Spirit lives inside of us, then we also have the power to walk and to live and to love as Christ loved us. But how are we doing this morning? How are we loving those around us? Jesus said, by this all men will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Are you loving God this morning? Do you have a relationship with Him? If not, time invitation, start singing, don't wait, come on down. If you need to make a decision, maybe there's something in your life, maybe you've got problems, maybe there's somebody who's really done you wrong. Maybe they cheated from you. Maybe they stole from you. Maybe they talked bad about you, whatever it is. Maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, help me love them the way that you love me. Help me forgive them as you have forgiven me. They might not deserve it, but I didn't deserve for the Lord to love me either. Amen. Will you stand with me? Whatever decision you need to make today, will you be obedient to Him first and foremost? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you have your will, that you have your way in each and every heart and life here today. Lord, I can't answer for anybody else, but I know there's times in my life where I put other things in front of you. And there's times in my life, Lord, where it's been hard to love someone. Lord, I pray that you forgive me first and foremost. That, Lord, I would strive every day to live loving you. But then also, Lord, to love others as you have loved me. Lord, I pray that whatever decisions we need to make today, Lord, if it's to give our lives to you, then Lord, I pray that we would do so. If it is a need, Lord, just to respond to the message today about loving you and loving others and putting you back in the place you belong, Lord, that we would seek you first and foremost and love you first, then, Lord, everything else will fall in place. So, Lord, I pray in this time of invitation, Lord, that you just lead us and guide us. But most importantly, Lord, I pray that we would all be obedient to your commands. Lord, have your way in our hearts and lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.